Digging deeper without the cold face. The podcast that shares the incredible stories of the talented and passionate people in our industry. And it's now time for this week's episode of Digging Deeper Without the Cold Face. Proudly sponsored by CAPS Australia, a leading provider of compressed air and power generation solutions that are made for Australian conditions and backed by dedicated local service. Keep your operations running smoothly with CAPS Australia. It's your host, Jessica Rouse.
In 2016, Steve Fornham started a business with Glenn Finnan, providing manpower and equipment to support mining and civil projects across the Hunter Valley with the aim of increasing the employment of Indigenous Australians. Fast forward, Steve has more than achieved that goal. He's absolutely smashed it. BlackRock has expanded to include the Second Chance for Change program. He's part of DreamPath Recruitment. And then there's BlackRoot Community Group. There's so much to talk about and so much more. And Steve joins me on this episode of Digging Deeper. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, really good. Yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. I have waited so long to get you on. You have achieved so much, and I do want to start with you sharing that heartbreaking time in your life when you did hit rock bottom. I'm sure many of our listeners may have heard this story before, but it was such a pivotal moment in your life.
Yeah. So look, at the age of 25, I was an operator, and I got into a really bad bout of depression, and at the age of 25, I actually went to the point of actually take my life. So I actually spent about 45 minutes on a stool in my shed and a rope around my neck, and I still feel it on my neck when I get nervous. And then I went back and forth in my head over and over again, and I think the only thing that I didn't actually jump at that point was the fact of who was going to find me the next day. And then I literally went to my shift that night, and I watched this Windex bottle bounce around, and I heard about a mining client, Mac Energy Mount Pleasant, opening up, and I thought I'd give it a shot, and I've given everything I got, and I managed to build what I've built now.
And it's amazing. Take us through what you built, where it started.
Yeah, so look, I got home at that time, and I said to the spouse back then, I said, I've spent every dollar we've got, or every dollar I've got. And she goes, I didn't know we actually had any money saved up. And I said, no, so I sort of put everything into my business. And she said, at least you've got your mining job. I said, no, quit that, because in life we go forward, we don't go back. And we kicked off BlackRock. And one of the good things are, when the clients we first engaged with, they were fantastic. Mac Energy Mount Pleasant have been a pivotal point of the Hunter Valley, and they've really set the bar and the mining standards around here of that social license to operate and engaging with people within the community to provide the best opportunity. And look, they gave me a chance. To be honest, in our industry, we're very risk prone to avoid, and it's one of those big things. We don't like taking big opportunities and big risks to things, but I think that's one thing our mining industry does. It's sort of like there's a blanket rule. We don't do that when it comes to community-based initiatives. But look, we started the business, and it was a couple of weeks in, we met our the Pitt was sponsoring a prison initiative, and we met one of their candidates, and he's been in and out a few times, and a bit of a rock bottom point in his life. And I actually, when I interviewed him, to be honest, I nearly broke down myself. I literally see myself sitting across the table, so a point person that's literally had that rock bottom point in their life. And like, I know in our industry we always talk about, we got to talk about mental health, we've got to be upfront with each other, but to be honest, it's a crock. We don't talk about it enough. We're too frightened to. And even the other day, I opened up about it on the stage in front of everyone, because I want to be the example of, you can get to rock bottom, but there's only one way, and that's up. You don't want to go down any further. And we actually had a guy come up to me and start talking about some of the stuff he went through. And he said, look, on the way home every day, I literally, as I'm driving, I said, you feel like you want to hit the guardrail? And he goes, yeah. And I said, I thought the same thing over and again. I thought it was an accident, no one would notice. And it's just such a hard stigma for us to break, and it's so disheartening, because I've lost that many people over the years with it, and I've gotten to a broken point in my life a couple of times. Even now, I'm feeling it just talking about it. But as I said, when we got that opportunity to give this guy a chance, I think that's what the point of my soul and my life, my trajectory changed, because if I can help other people, it helped me in the long run. And it's a bit of a selfish way to look at it, But I love the fact that we can create these real outcomes. And we had our first candidate come through, and he was walking down the main street on a Sunday wearing his orange work shirt, his blue jeans, his work boots, and his glove clip hanging on the side. And I said, why are you wearing work for him on a Sunday? He said, well, when I walk in a shop, I don't get followed her anymore. Old people don't hold their handbags, look at me and smile. It's the first time I've had purpose in my life. And we've had over 250 boys that we've managed to employ while they're incarcerated. That's a huge change to giving guys a real chance. And our return rate to prison's only in a couple of percent, because giving people an opportunity to succeed and giving people a pathway. But what a lot of people don't know, like, I don't always said the worst thing about in a marketplace that is very hard to get good people because we're always competing on the same line, and it's always about finding the best. But my motto is always about let's create the best. We've got schools now ringing us up when we've got kids on the wrong path. We've been taking them on. We've taken a couple, and we've got some really good success cases with that. We've taken a lot of people that traditionally no one wants to employ in the job market because they we stigmatise and we put people down in barriers. But when you break down and look at it, we're all human, and this is what we're supposed to be about doing, is that supporting the Aussie battler. And everyone goes, we focus on Indigenous. Well, we don't. We actually have a large amount of non-Indigenous candidates come through our prison programs. We have a lot of non-Indigenous people come back in our community-based programs, because at the end of the day, when someone needs help, it doesn't matter what colour, it doesn't matter what blood you have, what beats the most is how we can help.
Yeah, exactly. And you were telling me only a couple of weeks ago that return rate to prison, your stats compared to the government, it's a massive difference.
It's huge. I think it's because I hate bureaucracy. It's very hard in a bureaucracy market to sort of work in with candidates, because there's rules, there's guides, there's these walls we've got to put up in a government way. I don't have them walls. Like, a guy calls me at 3 a.m, I'm going to answer the phone. If I've got to go over and I've got to put my arms around a bloke and talk him down from that ledge, I'll do it. Like, I'll be there no matter what. And I had an instance the other day, my little boy's first birthday party, we were about to cut the cake, and someone rang me and they're about to take the light. I literally got that car and I ran and I got this guy and I wrapped my arms around him and I hugged him and I cried with him. And I'll do that with any bloke that rings up. Like, this is where we've got to break this cycle of men, because, like, we're dying out there. Like, we talk about COVID, we can end put billions of dollars and change the whole country's economy into the worst possible way to try and fix a problem of a virus. But one of the biggest things is that men's mental health and women's mental health as well. But especially for blokes, it's that barrier of we've got to be tough, we've got to be strong, and like, we're human. Like, at the end of the day, not being able to see your kids, losing your kids in a custody battle and being used as a weapon against you, it's tough. Having every barrier thrown out every time someone loses a job in the family. Like, we've been brought up to be providers and support, and literally sometimes we feel like you're getting beaten by a stick, but that's where we've got to be upfront with each other. We've got to talk about when we've got problems. And one thing I've learned, for the more times that people are upfront with what's going on, the more people actually are around to put their hands out and go, hey, how are we going to help this guy? Like, what can we do? Like, and I've noticed that now in our pit environment. Like, I remember originally, I've worked on a lot of mine sites over the years, and one site in particular, we talked about men's mental health, and that site, they turned around, and one of the first guys that actually talked about his mental health, they removed, because I worried about his mental health operating a machine. And that's setting bar back forward, and that's where we can't be as an industry. We need to be there for each other and in those tough times, because that's where the most time the need is. And I said, I've been up front, I've passed my mobile number out 1,000 times over, because I believe, just give me a call. Like, I'm not saying that I know what you're going through, but I'll be there to listen. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, we need to talk about it more than just that one week of a year where there are heaps of toolbox talks and Are You Okay Day stuff, which was only just recently. And it does seem like at a lot of sites, we're only talking about it during that week. Why aren't we having these chats more often?
Well, it's the Merry Christmas theory, I reckon. Like, we always go Merry Christmas. It's that one time a year, and that's where this mental health and thing is. And it's pretty much every week. We've got to get into that space of trying to work with a person and work out what's going on. And at the end of the day, as I said, it's just people to listen, and everyone's got their struggles. And do you know 90% of the people that are more likely to commit suicide are the people you don't even know? People that are really good at hiding, have got a really good smile on it. They can they get out there every day. And I'm a happy person. Most of the time, people wouldn't be able to pick it up. And but literally, I thought I was alone. I was terrified. I didn't want to talk to people. I just got this little block in my head, and it was to the point, it was in the worst possible point that I was willing to do it. And as I said, for the fact that just who would find me the next day, that's a consideration I took for my family, but it changed my life. But the one thing that changed my life, and it really is, and like, people wonder why, like, I wear high-vis everywhere, and people think it's a nice little prop that I wear to when I go to an event. It's not. This industry is a big supporter of what it does in the regions. And like, you know, at Musselbrook, our birth rates are relying on coal price. They did a study the other day. Every time we have a boom, 8, 9 to 12 months later, our birth rates go up. So our whole industry setting relies on it. And our biggest depression point is on a downturn. Yeah. That's when us blokes are struggling to provide. We're struggling to get that bit of extra overtime. Everything's getting a bit dearer. And as I said, like, even with our food and toy appeal, we're up to 1,600 people we're supporting every year. And that's getting bigger. And, like, that's not a good way. It's not a good thing. Like, in fact, we can help people. It's beautiful. But
we'd love to not need to.
No, 100%. But the other hard thing is it's the trauma that you're taking on from the people in the region. Like, I live with that many. Like, there's stories that still keep me up at night some nights that I've heard. And it is such a hard fabric for blokes just to be upfront about and go, hey, this is what's going on in my life. And look, I'm in one of the most amazing phases of my life. I've got two beautiful sons and another baby on the way, but at three and a three, and I'm in that stage. I get home and the kid's so excited and go, dad's home. And that's beautiful. I wouldn't have had that. I could have lost all that. And that's where it's at.
Yeah, that's it. And you mentioned, you're about to expect your third child, and you mentioned how proud the mining industry is. And there was a video that went around, it was probably months and months ago now, you were at Q&A and were standing up in your hi-vis, said that, the Upper Hunter and mining regions end up being the District 12 of the Hunger Games. You know, we rarely get back what we deserve.
We are in a denial of where we should be, because when you live in a community, and I've got some good facts on this, I've had that many mining communities sending me high-vis shirts for the protest. But Gunnedah, another mining community, lost their maternity services. Musselbrook and Cessnock lost theirs around when their coal mining was actually prominent in their region too. So this is the problem we have. And when you hear the government's example, they go, well, royalties shouldn't be spent where the community they come from. They should be spent where the need most is. And we all know that's Sydney. But the problem is then when you hear the Premier go, New South Wales deserves more of the GST because it's produced here. It's very hypocritical. And this is the point that we live in as a society is, like, even I'm terrified in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to have another baby drop. I've got the point. We've got plastic ready to go on the floor in our house so we can deliver at home. Like, how stupid, I better swear then, but how stupid is that that we live in a society where we've got to do that? We're in a third world society living in regional Australia. And most people go, well, that's where you pick to live. And I go, yeah, but we live in an area where there's billions of dollars coming out. We're not asking for $1 billion. We're just asking for the same rights. And to be honest, even if the New South Wales government came and gave us a maternity ward back to us, I always say it's like someone going to the toilet in your bloody pool and scooping it out. It's literally giving you a problem and then going, hey, we fixed the problem. No, you created a problem to start with. We've had a girl had a baby in a public toilet at a hospital. What kind of society are we living in? And this is the problem we've got to understand as a society. Like, once these royalties are gone, once our industry's gone, the economy's gone. Like, we look at them bypasses in Sydney. Like, who's paying for them? At the same time, well, we can't support $5 million for a maternity ward. And just to give an idea, since they've closed Musselbrook Maternity Services, there's been $13.6 billion of royalties taken out of the New South Wales economy with mining. Like, where do we sit as regional people? Because we're not getting a seat at the table. No. We're not getting an opportunity to express ourselves. Every time we put our hand up, we get hit down. I've had that many people reach out to me and try to pull me down from fighting the government to what we're trying to achieve, because, like, we are going to be Detroit of America in the next couple of years, because we've got nothing here. Like, we should have the best hospitals, the best schools. The government, and they bail out every other industry, and I've heard bailout after bailout in the last couple of 12 months. There's no bailout plan for Musselbrook. There's no government coming in to intervene and going, well, why don't we help create a new industry here? No, we've had that many political people and bureaucrats turn up in a pair of R.M. Williams, and then they turn around and go, we know what you country people like. And it's the same thing as when they go off the train in Hunger Games and they collect a couple of us to go us at the front, and they use us as a shield to what's to come. And we've got to start standing up for our region. Our coal miners need to start pulling ourselves out and going, well, why are we contributing all this money to an economy that we don't get to see? We should have the rights. We should have it. And to be honest, if the New South Wales government wants to wean itself off mining, it should wean itself off our royalties. And to me, 10% of all future royalties and a future-proofing initiative for our region, that's the future. That's where we need to be. If the money comes from Musselbrook, it stays in Musselbrook. It comes from Singleton, it stays in Singleton. It should be the same thing for Gunnedah. It should be the same thing for Mudgee. All our mining communities should have a bucket for a future-proof initiative, because in a couple of years they go, we can't afford to bail yous out at the moment because we're in so much debt from the money that you guys are funding our projects already. And now that we're not going to have that money, we've got nothing to fill that gap in. And that's where the problem is.
Yeah, it's baffling. I mean, I open my email inbox every day and see a ton of emails from the state government about money for this initiative and that new hospital in this capital city. And you just go, what the hell? There is nothing in this list for us.
Last New South Wales budget, two hospital new builds in Sydney, $1 billion each. But on top of that, they want to build one on a TAFE, existing TAFE campus. So now we're going to spend multi-millions moving that TAFE campus somewhere else. and building it a whole new thing so they can actually create another hospital in that region. And I've gone, population, I understand it. But all we are asking, and maternity services have dropped by 25% in regional New South Wales. And like, we live in a country where like we are literally going completely backwards. We live in a communist state and country currently at the moment because our rules and regulations for coal mines to get approvals, like, used to be a 20-page document. And I'm not saying that we need the higher regulations and rules because we have set the standards for mining in the whole entire world. But now we're going to destroy that, and then we think we're going to get the same buy-in from a poorer nation with no rules, no regulations. And as we turn around and make ourselves feel good by getting rid of a coal mine or another mining an asset for Cobar or iron ore, we're going to poorer nations where kids are mining it, and we're going, well, we can live with that. We can live with that. And this is where we've got to start to try and turn the tide.
Yeah. If the government isn't going to come to the party, do we need to be relying more on our mining companies? I'm not sure if you saw, but out at Mudgee, the three mining companies out there got together to fund this Doctors for Mudgee initiative. The whole aim of it is to get doctors to Mudgee. They've got one doctor who's now at the Gulgong Medical Centre, which was shut for a long time. There was no doctor, no GP. You had to go to Mudgee or you had to come to Muswellbrook to go and see a doctor. But the mining companies have funded that initiative to get doctors there. Do you think maybe we need to see more company initiatives maybe to try and get funding and the services that we need, or should it just be relying on the government?
My problem is it's why we always rely, and this is the issue will happen, is we'll have that service there funded by the mines, but then when the mines leave, we've got no reliance on the government. The government needs to step to the plate. They just increased our royalties by 30%. On top of that, they got rid of our resources for regions, which is a fund that was set up to support mining communities like ours. And to be honest, that was not even enough. Like, it's not even enough. And a good example, you know, the first regional bypass committed to New South Wales, first regional one was Muswellbrook's bypass. And it's still not even built. Like, every year it's been an election commitment. And the only reason why it's getting built now is for wind turbines. And that's the only reason why. And this is the problem what we live in, is it's a... At school, we're supporting one industry at the moment by breaking the legs of the existing industry and saying that we're having a fair fight. And we're not. We're not having a fair fight. We need to create new future-proofing development. We need to create new sources of revenue streams to come to our region. But at the moment, the government's way is going, well, we need to pay for more stuff in these regions. Let's just charge it to the mining companies. And then what happens is we put more pressure on the mining company, they leave. And I'm not saying that the pits at the moment, they pay a royalty. They pay investment. Other countries at the moment, when they got their mining license, they pay like an absolute mozza. We should have took that mining license money and used that to invest in the community to have it future-proof when the mine started. Back in the day, we used to have, we got housing crises. And I'll give you the example. The problem what I see across all government at the moment is we have a housing issue caused by the government. We have an energy crisis caused by the government because we're not using the best reliable source of power we can, which is coal. We've got a supermarket issue at the moment with groceries going through because we're only on four into the market. We've got all these barriers, everything the government said to fix, they've created the problem themselves. And then every election, it's we will fix the problem. We will not have a manufacturing ever in this country again because you either need cheap power or cheap labour force. We're not going to cut the wages. So how we cut the power, and we're not looking at it. And the problem is at the moment, we're not basing our energy grid on cost. We're basing it on green and a future for our children. But on being up front, what's the future for our children? We can't even be born in our hospital. The rules in a regional area, you are not a local until you are born there or buried there. I've said I've been living in Muswellbrook most of my life. I'm still not born here, so I'm still not a local until I get buried. But I said this is where we're taking these rights of regional people and we're just throwing it against the wall, and we're complaining about it and saying we'll fix it if you elect us to come in. Give us 3 years to legislate something that's never going to be legislated. Like, the only reason why they shut Muswellbrook Hospital down, because it's supposed to be a COVID ward originally. I got told it's because there's no obstetricians. I went to market and I found three willing to relocate to the area. So it's not an obstetrician problem. Then now what's the next problem? So,
yeah, exactly. And you mentioned that you are collecting work shirts from whoever wants to send them to you to take to Parliament. Tell me about that.
So the idea is not even just high vis. It's any working person that's paying taxes in this country and that has had enough. We literally need to get the government to start putting money into better positions of where it's at. And every time they make an announcement, it's our government's giving you this. But every time it's we're in a debt, it's you guys are in this. Like, it's we've got to start turning around and understanding where the money and the investment's going. And a government's role is not to do what the people want, but what the people need. and we need the basic rights to turn her and survive. We need to have a maternity services. We need our hospitals funded. We need our schools funded. We need our roads and infrastructure funded. We don't need money to be thrown out the window, because every time we put money into different initiatives, we're literally taking money from the state's coffers. Same thing with the federal government. And the issue what we have at the moment is the feds go, that's a state problem. Well, the federal government need to start intervening on these problems as well, because at the moment, it's bullshit. The Hunter Valley, we have been the cash cow for New South Wales for too long. Our mining industry has been a cash cow for too long. Our industry needs to start stepping up. Our miners need to start stepping up and saying, we're over it. We're sick to death of being overtaxed and underrepresented and undergiven, because I pay a ridiculous amount of tax on my salary. So does every other person probably in this podcast listening. And where's our money going? It's not going where it should go.
Exactly. It feels like a very different vibe talking to like people like yourself and people down here compared to up in Queensland. People in Queensland seem to be a bit more willing to stand up for the mining industry and talk about what they deserve. But down here, it just doesn't seem to be the case.
I think it's the should be right attitude. And it's the only thing I hate about Australia is we're always, oh, look, we're battlers. We're used to it. Oh, we'll make it work. No, we've got to start standing up, because there is a timeline on our industry. And as much as Albo said the other day, if you want to build a coal-fired power station, the market would, bullshit. The government would tax it so hard and make it so difficult for it to operate. It can't happen. And they're going to do the same thing with our mining industry. And I'll be up front, we are the last wall in front of the farmers. Because once they destroy our industry, the farmers are next guys. Like, they're going to start taking on our cattle industry. They'll start taking on our cropping industry. They'll increase the food prices, because guess what? They need revenue. They tax our booze. They tax you to have the right to have a cigarette. They tax you to have fun. They tax you everything in your life. There's not a single tax that's not hit onto us as a country. And we're not better off. Like, don't get me wrong. We live in a great society. And everyone says we're a lucky country. We're not a lucky country. We're a country that's built on hard work, dedication, and people having a bit of entrepreneurial opportunity in this nation. And we're to a point now that there's so much money getting taken out, but none of it's getting left to the right organisations and community that actually where it's being produced.
Exactly. And I feel like you're such a mover and shaker in the Upper Hunter, and you've been trying to fill those gaps where we see things that need to happen, like you're part of the Blackroo community group as well, which is doing amazing stuff.
Yeah, look, my big thing is I hate hearing problems and not coming up with solutions. So domestic violence, a big problem. It's always been a close one for myself. So we've opened our own domestic violence initiative that supports women through domestic violence and supports men as well. So it's not just about one particular group. We run our back-to-school programs. We're supporting so many people getting their first home that have literally down on their luck, homelessness, because that's what we're supposed to do in regional Australia. But to be honest, I'm sick to death of doing the government's job. We have to step up, because in our community, when there's a fire, it's the volunteer firefighters that go out. Every time there's a flood, it's the SES that go out. Every time we need something in our communities, it's the volunteers and the people that rely on the support. That's what it's about. That food and toy appeal that we put on every year that is a beacon for hope. And if some of the stories I hear every year from some of the people, that what they're going through, I'm blown away by the support of what our community does to step up. Yeah. And this is where it is, because we're backed on the fact that we support each other, because we know what it's like to live in a regional area. We don't wait for the government. We have to fix the problem today, because we don't have the option or luxury to just jump on our Facebook and argue. Like, a good example, our system screwed up for political thing to get something on the government's agenda. It's nearly like 15,000 to 16,000 signatures you need on a ballot to actually put a problem up in parliament. Problem is, our town's not even 16,000. Well, 16,000 population just on, like, unless we're getting babies signed and letters of support, which are not allowed, we're not even getting their numbers. And this is where, reason why I'm taking the shirts, I want to take them to Parliament, I want to give them to our minister, and like, our ministers have got stuff to answer for. Like, I even heard the other day, the New South Wales government's looking at creating a mining transition centre to support coal miners to look for new jobs and education in Wallsend. Why? Labored area. This is the problem we live in. It's supporting governments that the government's in at the time. Don't get me wrong, Coalition probably would have done the same thing. That's probably why we would have got one here. But all these initiatives to support miners need to happen in the town where the jobs are. Like, we've got 8,000 people travelling here every day for work. Fair enough. But if they want to be re-educated, they should be re-educated in the town where they've had the job and where the investment's going to.
Yeah. It's just baffling, you know, that we give so much and get so little from every angle. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And look, it's to a point where we've, like, how do you break the cycle? Because I'm a pretty good, I'll take a fight to anything. I'll argue, I'll take my point and I'll try and get it across. And every politician, it's like payroll tax. Not a single politician I've not met with that said we should eliminate payroll tax. Everyone's like, It's a terrible tax. Like it consequences people putting in employment, but no one's even put it on the agenda to remove it. Our buffer land problem that we've got in our community, where all this land's landlocked and it's not done by the mining companies, it's done by government red tape and bureaucracy. Every government has said they want to eliminate it, but we're still sitting here today. And this is a problem. Even when they had the nuclear inquiry, like, I like the fact that someone actually brought something to the election that means jobs and opportunity. And I said it to the government, then I argued, I was on the panel, I actually got to argue with five politicians, and I held my weight. I knocked them down a couple of times. And one of the big politicians said to me, he goes, it'll take us years to legislate this. And I said, you're a legislator. That's your job. If you can't do it quick enough, step down, move off, and let someone else do it. Like, that's where we need to be. And, like, it's like the Trumpism that's now going into the market. People are going, we want this, but I think we do need a sledgehammer into our system. I think we need to break the policy of bureaucracy, because we put it in times where we've earned lots of money, and our industry does it through mining. We get very regulated when the coal price is high because we've got so much money coming in. We can put 20 extra positions on to cover one job. And as downturn hits, we make cuts. Our government just keeps spending and we keep going up and up and up. So,
if you could pick three things that you could put in place right now in the Upper Hunter over the next 5 years, what would they be?
I think what we need, so with the closure of the BHP steelworks in Newcastle, the Prime Minister under John Howard actually made a commitment to actually spend one day per year for a term of government of 3 years to essentially come out, meet with the locals and get direct access to government to come up with initiatives to fix the problems. We need a localised approach. We don't need a committee with no power. We need a direct line into the Prime Minister and a direct line into our MPs from state and federal. The second thing is we need at least a 10% royalty initiative or future royalties coming from our ground in our futures fund. We do not want that to be a state, federal, local council run initiative. It needs to be a governing local body represented and supported by the state, so there's an overseer. But we need to give community-based funding to support those initiatives. And the next one is we need to stop with this 2030 campaign and 2050 campaign on our coal. We need to keep mining as long as we need it. We should build some Healey coal-fired power stations. We should have them operational and running. And what we should do is we should be ready to turn them off when we're ready. But until we are there, and I don't know why we don't have a baseload mix to be able to run a great resource that we can run through the night. And don't get me wrong, it's like Galilee said a few years ago, we're going to have a mining and a renewables mix, and they can work together. But at the moment, it's like the only way we'll make a renewables valuable is by destroying coal mining. So there's only one industry to go to. And it's wrong on all levels. If I did that from a business perspective, I'd go to jail. Like, that's insider trading, that's colluding, it's every form of what we've got that's wrong in this country. And we need to start to work out because, like, don't get me wrong, we've got a lot of renewables projects here and we're getting a great lot of opportunities, some good industry that's coming. But why does it mean we have to destroy the mining industry today? And at the moment, every time I talk to the government, it's, well, we're going to get rid of coal mining, so now we've got to go on renewables for the Hunter. And I'm going, yeah, but what other industries could we bring in? Could we bring in defence? Could we be bringing government contracts to government departments? Could we be bringing abroad? We've got a rum distillery coming to Musselbrook, which is going to be awesome. Wish it was whiskey, but we got there. But it's second largest rum distillery in Australia. And if it goes 24 operation, it'll be the fifth biggest in the world. These are the kind of industries we need to start attracting to the area. But when you can't have babies in the town, you can't attract people. And our average age in Musselbrook is 37. So we're all young people coming here. We're all going to have kids. How can I get my partner to want to come to an area that I'm going to have to worry about the risk of getting her in a car during peak hour because we've got no bypass that's been funded? We're going to put you in our schools, but jings, we're not putting enough funding in our localised schools. We've got no, like, it's just a drag. But we've got a great bunch of people that are fighting and quietly in the background. We've got a good council that are making some big initiatives to try and make some big changes in the area, and they're working with the other councils because we're all about to feel it. We are completely about to feel it. But the government should not stand in front of us. It should stand beside us. That's what a good leader does. Does not stand in front of its people, stands beside its people and works in with.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're a good leader for Musselbrook, Steve. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode, mate.
No problem at all.
Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of Digging Deeper with At The Coalface. You can download more episodes of the podcast on all your favourite podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, also on YouTube, Amazon Music, all the usual places. Make sure you leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear what you thought. And if you do have a story idea or something you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, please send me an email, jess@thecoalface.net.au. I'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back next time for another episode of Digging Deeper with At The Coalface.